Psalm 67. And this psalm is, I think, a fitting follow-up to what we looked at last week. So Psalm 67, if you could find it in your Bible and then go ahead and stand with me, we're going to read Psalm 67 together. This is the missionary psalm. And as we read it, look for why we might call it the missionary psalm. This is a psalm, it says, to the chief musician on stringed instruments. A psalm. So let's read it together. It says, God, be merciful to us and bless us and cause His face to shine upon us. Selah. That Your way may be known on earth, Your salvation among all nations. Let the peoples praise You, O God. Let all the peoples praise You. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For You shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations on earth. Selah. Let the peoples praise You, O God. Let all the peoples praise You. Then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear Him. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh Lord, we praise You today for being the God who blesses us, Your people, and blesses the nations. We pray right now, Lord, that You would help us, that You would bless us, that You would cause Your face to shine upon us, Lord, that Your ways might be known among us, that Your salvation might be known, that Your people might be full of joy and gladness in praising You, that we would trust in Your righteous rule over us, that we would rejoice in Your protection and care, that we would praise You and we would spread Your praise to the people around us, Lord. Oh God, we pray that You might bless our worship today, that You might bless our labors to hear You and to know You, that You might bless our fellowship together. Lord, that You would pour out Your blessing on our week this week as we seek to accomplish much for Your glory, as we seek to serve our family and our loved ones, as we, Lord, ask that You would bless as we try to proclaim Your truth to our families, that we, Lord, might be fruitful in that, that Your word would sink down into our hearts and to the hearts of our children, that it might bring forth much fruit, that You would bless it. Lord, as we try to share the gospel with others, we pray that You would bless it and that You would give fruit for this labor. Lord, we pray that You might bless us so that we could be a blessing to others. Lord, that You might bless us so that we could share Your blessings with those around us. Lord, we pray that You'd bless us so You might be glorified and lifted up. We pray You'd bless this gathering of our church. We pray You'd bless, Lord, the folks over at Arcadia Bible Church as they gather today. And then as we come together again next week in Your name, Lord, we ask Your blessing on all these things, that Your people might rejoice in You and might make much of You, that all peoples might praise Your name. And we pray this in Christ's precious name. Amen. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you for your attention this morning. Well, this psalm we have before us is a psalm all about God's blessings. It's a psalm of seeking after God's blessings. So if I were to ask you this morning, are you blessed by God? You don't have to answer out loud, but what would you think? I mean, adults here, kids here, are you blessed by God? Do you want to be blessed by God? And don't you want God's blessings? I think the answer for all of us is yes, we want God's blessings.
what do you think of if I said, hey, we're going to gather here today to seek God's blessings? Well, most, I think, would be really excited. Some might say, well, wait a minute. You know, are we going to go all prosperity gospel and we're just going to all be about getting stuff for ourselves? Well, as you read this psalm, you realize that getting God's blessings is not so much about becoming a glutton on God's blessings, though they are given to us to enjoy. But the thing you see in the psalm is a request for God to bless us so that others might be blessed. It's about being a channel or a conduit for God's blessings, not just a repository for them. If I ask you, is God blessing you? You might think about, well, are things going well for me? Have you ever had one of those days where everything just seems to be going great? And you wake up and you're not like moaning and groaning and aching all over, and you're happy to get up and you just feel alert and ready to go. And you go and start your day and you're saying hello and good morning to everyone and praise the Lord and what a great day it is. And everything's just going great, and you go to work and things grow great and everything's going wonderful. And then that's what you're waiting for, right? The then something goes wrong. I'm not talking about one of those days. I'm talking about a day where just everything goes great. And you feel like, man, God is so good. God is blessing me so much. Those are fun days, aren't they? But what about the days where things don't go that great? You wake up in the morning and it's a struggle. There's some aches and pains maybe. Or there's some things that you've got to face in the day that are difficult and challenging. There's problems. You know, you burn your toast in the morning and everything just seems to go wrong all day long. Is God blessing you then? You know, if we look at God's blessings and we just think about having things go nice for us, then we might be missing the point. It's possible to have a very difficult day and still rejoice in God's blessings to us. It's possible to have a difficult day, and that doesn't mean that God has just kind of closed his eyes and turned his back and is not with you today. The idea of God's blessings being just something that we get to, you know, have a party with and have everything be wonderful is missing the full picture of what God teaches us about seeking his blessings. I hope today this psalm can really challenge us to think right about seeking God's blessings. Certainly it is a joy, it is wonderful to enjoy having a good day. We all want to have good days where things go right and everyone's happy and getting along and you get a raise and everything's great. Those are the days we love. And there's nothing wrong with praying for God to give you more of those days. But seeking God's blessings is about more than just getting a good time for myself. So in this psalm, there are three different responses that I want us to think about and have as we seek God's blessings. The first one is in verses 1 and 2. It tells us why we ought to seek God's blessings. We ought to seek God's blessings for God's glory. This psalm starts off as a prayer to God. It says, God, be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. He's saying, may God bless us. May God cause his face to shine upon us. May he be merciful to us. This opening plea for blessing is really modeled on a promise of blessing that comes up over and over really throughout the scriptures. But in Numbers chapter 6 and verse 24, this is a blessing we've read many times at church before. It's one we have used often as we leave. It's our closing word from God. It's a blessing that God gave to Aaron, the high priest, and told him to bless the people with these words. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. So this psalm then is a model of praying that promise from number 6 and asking God to do it. You know, it's a great way as you read your Bible and you read something God promises to do, go ahead and turn that into a prayer request. As Lee prayed earlier in the service and he led us in praising God, I already knew what the sermon text was for today, and he already knew what it was. And as I'm listening to him pray, I was listening to him echo a lot of the things that were in this psalm. It's a great way to strengthen your prayer life and even liven up your prayer life sometimes. Instead of just going to the Lord and praying for the same exact things over and over again, which we need to pray for many of the same things over and over again, but let your scripture reading be a guide to your prayer. Let the promises of God lead you to say, Lord, would you do that for me? Would you do that for my family? Would you do that for our church? God, would you bless us like that? That's what this psalm really is. It is a prayer based on this promise. A promise that a blessing that God gave to his people, and also a promise even further back to the time of Abraham. But it's a prayer to seek God's blessings for his glory. Look with me carefully at verse number 1. Verse 1, he says, God be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. This is a little description of what it means to be blessed by God, to be favored by God. Now, we know what it means to be favored by other people. If you were in a workplace and you're favored by the boss, it means that the boss is kind of looking out for you. He's giving you opportunities. Maybe he is cutting you slack when you don't do things quite as well. You're the favored one, right? And if you're the favored one, then you're the unfavored one by everybody else. And the same in a family or household. That's just the way it tends to work. To be favored by God doesn't mean he's treating us as his favorites and not liking other people. It's a description instead of his blessing. His blessing and his goodness to us. Not that he's treating us, God doesn't play favorites. It's not that he's giving us something and being mean to somebody else. God's goodness and his blessings are extended. And this psalm is one to say, Lord, bless us. Let your face shine on us. Now, kids, try to imagine what a shining face is, right? Maybe I could turn up the lights a little brighter on me here and I could give my face to glow or shine. If we were to turn off all the lights in here and everyone take their phones, you know, their faces would be shining. What exactly is he saying, Lord, let your face shine on me? What does that mean? Well, have you ever seen someone's face that was not shiny at you? And that was maybe dark? That was full of hostility, that was full of anger, that was opposed to you, you know, the mean look. So the face shining is, it's the opposite of that. Shining, there's joy, there's enthusiasm, there's excitement, there is encouragement. It implies a personal relationship because the face is shining. It's the one thing we long for, certainly in this time of COVID and Zoom meetings and video calls. We long for that personal connection, to see someone's smiling face. It just brings us joy to be able to do that. And so the psalmist is saying, Lord, that's what I want. That's the blessing that I seek. Notice how he's not saying, Lord, fill our barns with grain. Lord, fill my bags with gold. Lord, give me the latest and greatest chariot that's out there, or the finest tent, or the most amazing mansion. He's saying what I long for, what we're praying for, is this personal, joyful connection with you. And that's a blessing, isn't it? It's a blessing when you spend time with someone that they want to spend time with you, and they're joyful and talking with you. They're excited about what you're doing. They're encouraging to you. And we all need more of that, don't we? We need more people in our lives like that. And we need to be people like that in the lives of others. The people that know the goodness of God, we ought to be the ones that are offering that kind of enthusiasm and encouragement and attention to one another. May God help us to do that. May God help us to be that for our families. So God's favor here is this personal connection, this joyful relationship that is the greatest blessing. Jesus commented in Mark 8 and verse 36 that to gain the whole world, he said, what shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What good is all the gold you can carry or hide or protect if you don't have the face of God shining upon you? If you don't have that personal connection with Him that comes through Jesus. So we're to seek God's blessings, but verse 2 tells us why we want this. Why do we need to seek after God's blessing? It's for His glory. Notice what verse 2, it starts off with the word that. It's explaining why do we want God to bless us. We want Him to bless us that we may enjoy it forever. That's not what it says. That's a good thing though, right? To enjoy God's presence, enjoy His blessings, enjoy His goodness. But that's not the way this psalm is focusing our attention. These blessings are to be enjoyed not just for the benefit they give to me, but for the glory they bring to God. He says that your way may be known on the earth. God wants to be known. The relationship with God is not just a feeling to an experience. He's a person to know. And you know someone by knowing facts about them. Have you ever had someone lie about you? I've had somebody lie about me. You probably have too. One of the things that hurts the most when someone lies about you and it's being spread around, to me, one of the things that hurts the most is that people don't really know me because they're believing this lie, maybe, that they've heard. And it hurts that people imagine one thing that's not true and then treat you a different way because they just don't know. They don't know the truth. God wants us to know who He really is. As He seeks to bless us, it's so that His ways can be known. Having a good time when we come together in church is more than a feeling that we get. Now, I'll be the first to admit, when we all sing with our voices to the Lord and I hear God being praised and I hear it echoing around me, and it feels good, and it should feel good. But my relationship with God is about more than that good feeling. What feels even better than hearing everyone sing together and hearing the music together is thinking about what I'm singing and what I'm hearing at the same time. You know, to sing the song we sang today, Complete in Thee, it's a song just praising Christ to say that everything we need, we have in Him. As we think together about how we're complete in Christ and what He's done for us and He supplies our needs, and when we stand before Him at that last day, we'll be complete in Christ, and that fills your heart with joy. The more you understand the words of the songs you sing, the more you know the truth of them, the more powerful they are. Even if the style of the song is not the style of song you would flip on naturally on the radio in your car, or you would pull up on Spotify or on Apple Music or whatever it is, but if you listen to what's being said and you believe those things and you commit to those things, and it brings great joy. Because our worship of God is not just a feeling to experience. He is a person to be known. And so the psalmist prays, God bless us so that your ways can be known. God wants to be known for who He really is. In the psalm, there's a lot of things about God we can pick out. In verse 1 and 2, we can see how merciful and gracious God is. Just in praying for God's mercy, says that God is a God of mercy. And God wants to be known as a God who's merciful and gracious. When He revealed Himself to Moses in the book of Exodus, He said that He was a God of mercy and grace and compassion. Exodus 35. God is also praiseworthy. In verses 3 and 5, you have the exact same verse. So if you want to memorize two Bible verses at once, you just memorize this one because it's repeated exactly, verses 3 and 5. God is praiseworthy. God is worthy for all people, all nations, to praise Him because He's the maker of us all. He wants to be known as merciful, gracious, praiseworthy, as just. In verse 4, He is to be praised because He will judge the people righteously. He will rule over the people fairly. He's the judge who always decides according to what is good and right and just. Don't we long for that? We long for a judge that would be fair. We long for a boss that would be fair. We long for government leaders that would do what's right, not what lines their pockets or pads their wallets. That's what we long for. And that's who our God is. He's just and righteous and good, and He does things right, and He wants to be known like that. He's generous. Verse 6, the earth yields your increase. It reminds me of Jesus' words where He says that God sends down the rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous. He sends blessings to people who are good and bad. He sends blessings everywhere. He's a generous God. Verse 7 shows us His power, that all the ends of the earth shall fear Him. God is zealous to be known and to be praised and to be worshiped. It is displeasing then to God to be unknown, for people to be ignorant of Him, for people to ignore Him, for people to turn aside from Him. God seeks to be known, and we give glory to God when we make Him known. When we pray, "Lord, show me more of Yourself, so that Your ways might be known, so that others might know You." As He says in the end of verse 2, Your salvation among all nations. So you get the whole direction here of saying, God, bless me so that You can be glorified, so that You can be known, so that Your salvation can be received. God wants you to know Him and know the joy that comes from knowing Him, to know the praise and even the fear, to know Him as just and powerful and merciful and gracious. Do you know Him? How well do you know the Lord? And one thing that's surprising is often how little we know about other people around us, even people in our families. Sometimes when someone else is asking a question to one of my kids, or when someone's asking a question to me, they will hear something, or I will hear something and be like, "Really? I didn't know you thought that," or "I didn't know you liked that," or "I didn't know you wanted that." If we were to just go around the room and ask questions, it could get embarrassing pretty quick if I were to ask husbands about what kind of things their wife liked, and then we could all see if they actually knew and we're right about it. I've been in one of those couples games before. I think when I was in high school, we had like this Valentine banquet, and they put different couples up there, and then they would ask them questions about the other, and it was always pretty hilarious because the guys usually did very bad at knowing things about the other one. How well do you know God? What is it that pleases Him? What is it that He desires of you? What is it that he has shown to you lately? How well do you know God? You know, this is a blessing that we need to pray for ourselves. God, would you show yourself to me? You know, as we come to church, we come to fellowship with one another, to worship God together. We come to learn from him. You know, if you didn't pray before you came in here today, you could just pray right now in your heart to God. Lord, show me more of yourself today. Teach me from your word today. You know, we ought to come before God's word with this attitude to say, God, I want you to bless me today with knowing more about you, with understanding more of your ways, with seeing more of your grace and mercy, with seeing more of how great you are and how I need that. Those are prayers we ought to pray. We ought to seek God's blessing for God's own glory. Because the more we know him, the more we can trust him. The more we know him, the less we have to be afraid when things come up that we don't understand or we weren't prepared for. And the more we trust God and love him and serve him and praise him, the more he's glorified, the more he's magnified and lifted up. So he prays, God bless us that your way may be known and your salvation among all nations. Israel enjoyed a special privilege. In the Old Testament, Israel is the place where God's presence dwelt. God is present everywhere at all times, but at the temple, he signified in the Holy of Holies, that was a special place of his presence on the earth. It was indicating that God was with them and that God would bless them and that they were his people. It was where the high priest stood and he gave that blessing that said, the Lord bless you and may his face shine upon you. And so you see what the psalmist does here? He takes this same salvation, this blessing from God, this experience, and he says, Lord, would you bless us so that your ways may be known and your salvation, not just to us, Israel, but to all nations. That's why this is often called the missionary psalm. Because the goal is not just that we could sit around and enjoy it together. The goal is that it would spread to the ends of the earth. The goal is that it would spread not just in your family, but down your street. And not just in you and a couple of friends, but you and everyone you work with, everyone you come in contact with. That our message of the good news of the gospel might transform our lives and transform those around us. What great glory God would receive as people of all nations give him praise. Right along with the psalm we looked at last week, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. For all these different ones to gather and give glory to God. God calls all people now to know him and to receive his salvation. There's another passage in Scripture that ties together these two ideas of knowing God and knowing his salvation. And it's in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. As Paul writes about Timothy, and he says that from a childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. There's the two concepts linked together, this knowing God and receiving his salvation. This is the blessing that we ought to pray for ourselves and for those around us. When's the last time you prayed for your children that they might know the ways of God and they might receive his salvation? When's the last time you prayed that for your grandchildren? I don't think there's any greater blessing we can give to our loved ones than to pray that God might bless us to make him known to them, to let them receive his good gift of salvation. not just for those closest to us, but what about our neighbors? What about our coworkers? What about our in-laws? You know, what about everybody? This is a blessing we ought to pray. God, would you bless us to make you known? Would you bless us to make your salvation known? It ought to be the heart of every church to say, Lord, would you bless this gathering of believers so that as we scatter from this place, your ways might be known. Your salvation might be extended. So this psalm is a great prayer for us to pray. God, bless us. So as you think about seeking God's blessings, this is what I want you to think about first. Seek God's blessings for God's glory. Seek Him to bless you that He might be glorified, that He might be magnified. Verses 3 through 5 just continue really the same thing, same theme, but they really amplify looking at seeking God's blessings for other people. So what he's kind of introduced here in the end of verse 2, that your way may be known, that all the nations might know your salvation, he repeats something in verses 3 through 5. You know, as you're reading through the Psalms, you'll often see things like this, or things get repeated. This is really a way that if I could take out my computer and I could type you a message and there was one part of the message that I really wanted you to see, what would I do? I would bold it maybe, or I would underline it, or I would put it in italics. I would do something like that to draw your attention to this main sentence. A couple of weeks ago, we put a little insert in the bulletin about the church merger and some things that were important. And I went through there and certain phrases I put in bold print down through the page. So if you just glanced at it, you'd see this is the big idea. These are the important things. Well, the scripture is handwritten here for thousands of years. It doesn't have the bolding and the underlining and the highlighting and all that kind of stuff that we do now. The scripture often uses its structure to emphasize things. And in this psalm, you see that structure where it really points at one big idea through the psalm. If you look at the very first verse of Psalm 67... you'll notice it is referring to God blessing us. And then if you look at the very last verse, again, it comes back to this idea of God blessing us. In verse 3, it says, let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. And then in verse 5, let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Scripture often do this where it'll repeat or echo a concept at the beginning and the end. And those kind of serve like the two ends. If you imagine like a pyramid with me, verse 1, you've got God bless us. Over here, the last verse 7, you've got God will bless us. And then in the middle, you've got verse 3 and verse 5 repeating the same thing. Let the peoples praise you. And then what's right in the middle? What's right in the middle is verse 4. And that's the emphasis, the focus of the psalm, and that's the structure. So if the psalmist was writing this today, this would be the bold print section of the psalm. It would be drawing your attention to verse 4. What is the point of asking God to bless us? Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations on earth. The point of this psalm is for God's blessings to be on the people, that they would know Him as the wise and faithful judge and governor and ruler, and that they would enjoy praising and worshiping Him and bringing glory to Him forever. God is the Lord that every tongue must confess. His reign is joyful. Like we talked about last week, it being good and pleasant for brothers to dwell together in unity, and how God Himself is good and pleasant. Well, when people submit to God and walk in His ways, it's good. It's pleasant. And He wants to be known so that all nations can enjoy His reign. The word for govern here in verse 4 is often used of guiding. It's a shepherding kind of term. That God is the one who's guiding his people, governing them, not in the sense of issuing just endless lists of bureaucracy, but guiding them, watching over them, pointing them in the direction they should go. This is the reason we are to seek God's blessing, is so that that blessing can be sent out to the nations around us. In the promise that God made to Abraham in Genesis, he promised that he would not only bless Abraham, but he would make him a blessing. He said that in Abraham, all nations would be blessed. In Abraham's seed, all the people of the earth would be blessed. So as God blessed Abraham and made him the nation, his descendants, the nation of Israel, the promised Messiah would come. And through the promised Messiah, this blessing would go to all. So God blessed Abraham and God blessed Israel for the purpose of using them to bless others. Isaiah verse 42, or chapter 42, speaking of the Messiah, the servant, it says, "Behold, my servant whom I uphold, my elect one, in whom my soul delights. I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the Gentiles," like verse 4 talks about. "He will not cry out, nor raise his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break. A smoking flax he will not quench." In other words, he's dealing gently with people. "He will bring forth justice for truth. He will not fail, nor be discouraged, till he has established justice in the earth, and the coastlands shall wait for his law." God says he's going to bless his people, and he's going to bless them with the Messiah, who's going to bring blessing to all the Gentiles, all the coastlands, from sea to shining sea, you could say, from shore to shore. God blesses his people in order to accomplish this. God blessed Israel for the sake of the nations. Don't miss this. God wants to bless us, not for our sake, but for the sake of the nations, for the sake of others. God wants to bless our church for the sake of others. I'm really excited about our churches merging together and having this group of people together, being excited about worshiping the Lord together, serving the Lord together, thinking about going forward, the kind of things that we can do, because this gathering together and blessing is so we can go with blessing, so we can declare His goodness to others, so we can spread it. It's not just about receiving blessing for ourselves, but it's receiving it, enjoying it, and spreading it around to others. You know, it's like John F. Kennedy said once, "Don't ask what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country." You know, this blessing, we're asking God, "Would you bless us?" But it's not just so we can gorge ourselves on blessing. It's so we can spread that blessing, so we can make it known to others. How is this going to happen? How are we, as God's people, going to spread His blessings? How are the nations going to get to know about these blessings? Well, I think there's two main ways it's going to happen. It's going to happen through the power of God in His people. And it's no secret that what we do before a watching world. And I'm not saying everyone's watching what we do in this service necessarily, although I guess they can see online a lot of what we're doing in here. What I mean is, when you go to work, people are looking to see if you're really a Christian, if being a Christian really makes a difference in your life. When you go home and you leave here and you've been sitting here hearing the same message with other members of your family, then they're looking at one another to see if that word from God had any impact on your life. Did it change anything about the way you think? Did it conform you more to the image of Christ? We claim to know and love and follow Jesus. People around us are wondering if that's true. So how are the blessings that we receive from God going to be seen by the world? Well, through the power of God in our lives. The power of God to change us. The power of God to make us focus ourselves on Him. The power of God that's at work in us to say, you know what, I do want to know God. I do want to praise Him. I do want to worship Him. I don't want to think about the world the way ungodly people do. I want to have God's wisdom. What difference does God make in the lives of these Christians? The world wants to know. They want to see. Where is their God? You know, it's been said, and I think it's pretty true, that a great hindrance to evangelism is this failure of Christians to live like they know and love their God. You know, if we are not consumed with knowing God and enjoying this blessing of His face shining on us, how can we expect that to be good news to anyone else? Your witness will be far more powerful if it's not just about words that you're giving people, but a life that is influenced by the power of our God. This is a blessing we need to pray for. We need to pray, God, change me by Your power. Lord, I want to know You. I want to walk with You. Change me, Lord, so that You might be seen in my life. God certainly makes a difference in that person's life. That's what I would love to hear. I would love to hear unsaved people say, you know, I work with Freddie, and God has made a difference in his life. Or I work with Joe, and I can tell that God's important to him. You know, what would our friends, our family, our coworkers, people we regularly interact with, would they say that? You know, someone has said, if being a Christian were a crime, you know, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Would it be obvious that you are following Christ? And if we want God to be known, then we need to make Him known by letting people see His power in our lives. A second way that the world is going to know Christ is through the power of His Word proclaimed by His people. It's certainly true that the nations need to know God, our neighbors need to know God, and they're going to know that, or they're not going to know that very well if we don't live like we know Him. But it's more. There's more to it than just living good. There's more to it than just trying to do what's right. We also need to proclaim the Word of God. You know, the beginning of the psalm, I said it was really a prayer that was based on that promise and that blessing in number 6. How was it God gave His blessing on the people? He had Aaron proclaim His Word to the people. I mean, the source of the blessing was the Word of God. God Himself speaking. The blessing didn't come to them magically or by laying out of hands or something like that. The blessing comes to God's people by someone bringing the Word to them. The Word of God comes speaking to them. In other words, if we want our neighbors and the nations to know God, we need to live like we're people changed by Him. And we need to proclaim His Word to them. Paul provides a good illustration of this in Romans 15, in verse number 15. He says, "Nevertheless, brethren, I have written more boldly to you on some points as reminding you, because of the grace given to me by God, that I might be a minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering of the Gentiles might be acceptable sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Paul paints himself like a priest. And he says, my ministry to the nations is to minister God's word to them, that they might hear the word and that they might bow before the Lord, that they might hear the word and know God's ways and receive his salvation. This is the focus of praying for blessings, is to use them for God's glory. Now, real quick, we're going to wrap up here, but think about this. If this is why God blesses us, then don't you think that if we want to receive God's blessings, we ought to be planning on sharing them with others? Doesn't that make sense? If God blesses us in order to be a blessing, then it seems to me like he'd be most inclined to bless us if we are already ready to share those blessings with others. We must pray this blessing for ourselves for the sake of the nations. We'll be most prone to experience God's blessings when we're planning and longing and praying to be a blessing to others. Even when it comes to financial things and material things, if we have the right focus, we're saying, God, would you bless me so that I'd be able to bless others? Would you help me so that I could help others? I'm convinced that God will often give through us things he will not give to us. You know, he'll give through us for others what he won't give to us just to consume for ourselves. It's better to be a channel for God's blessings and experience the joy of receiving and giving them to others than it is to not even touch them for a moment. Jesus said in Acts 20, 35, or Paul used Jesus' words here, reminding the people in Ephesus. He said, remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Have you ever asked God to bless you so you could be a blessing to others? It really ought to be the way we live. It shows that we understand everything we have is a gift from God. He's the source of everything. The resources that I have, the opportunities that I have, they're all gifts from God. So I want to use them that his way may be known, that his salvation may be received, that he may be glorified. When we have that mindset, it demonstrates that we understand the whole point of the universe is not me. It's not my enjoyment of myself. Instead, it's that God may be known. And I will find my greatest joy, not in hoarding every blessing I can to myself, but in receiving blessings from God and giving them out to others. To know God and to make him known. It's the greatest joy. This psalm closes in verse 6 and 7 with an emphatic expectation. It says, then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. We ought to seek God's blessing for God's glory. We ought to be seeking after God's blessing for others. And then we do that expecting God will bless us in order to bless others. God will do this because this is what he wants. He wants all the nations to know him and bring him glory. So if we're seeking that, we can expect him to do it. We can expect him to help us so that we might make him known. His blessings are not ours to monopolize for ourselves, but ours to magnify him. Isaiah 55 takes this same image of harvest and the earth yielding or increase, and it uses it to describe God's workings. It says, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth in bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Let's expect God to bless us for His glory. Let's expect God to bless us for the good of others. Let's expect God to do this. So as you pray for your evangelism efforts, pray like this. Pray that God would show Himself through you and expect Him to do that. Pray that God would use you to impact those around you and expect Him to do it. And pray this way for our church merger, that God would abundantly bless it so that we might be an abundant blessing to those around us. Pray this way for your finances. Pray, God, would you bless my finances so I can take care of myself and I can be a blessing to others? Expect Him to do that. This is His plan. William Carey is a famous Baptist missionary. He is basically in the English-speaking world. He is the founder of the modern missions movement. William Carey was convinced of the need that he needed to leave his small village in England. And even though he had never traveled out of his region, he needed to leave there and go to India to proclaim the gospel in India. It was his great burden to do it. As he began to think and pray about doing this, he turned to a passage in Isaiah 55, and I'm not going to turn there right now. But from it, he came up with basically a slogan that he used over and over and over again. And this is what it was. Attempt great things for God. Expect great things from God. That little slogan, I think, captures the vision of this psalm. God, bless us, expecting great things from God, that the nations might know you, that all the peoples might praise you. That's a big vision, isn't it? See, how could a guy, William Carey was a cobbler, he made shoes and repaired shoes in England, and then he was a pastor as well. How could this bivocational shoe repair man in England make any impact on the world? Well, it's because he expected great things from God, and he attempted great things from God. William Carey ended up going to India, and he preached and taught and labored to help people know the true God for 7 years before he saw his first convert. Before he saw the first one willing to turn from their gods to Jesus as Lord, it was 7 years. By the time he died, there was some 30 different missionaries there in India because of William Carey. There were 40 different native teachers that had been trained and that were going and preaching and pastoring. And there were approximately 600 to 700 members of churches that had been directly started through William Carey. A small town guy with no connections in India who went because he believed that God would use the preaching of the gospel to turn people from darkness to light. And a huge work was established because he expected great things from God and attempted great things for God. This psalm says, God, would you bless us? Not just so we can be blessed, but bless us, Lord, so you can be known by your workings in us. Bless us so your salvation can be known, so that all the nations might come and worship you. Are you ready to pray a big prayer like that? Are you ready to say, God, I want your blessing. I want to see your face shine upon me. I want to walk with you. I want to know your ways so that I can make them known. Let's bow our heads before the Lord today. Well, let's go to Him in prayer. I'm going to give you just a few moments to make your own prayer to God. Lindsay's going to play a little bit on the piano just to give you a time of quiet. I'm going to be quiet. And then in just a moment, I'll come back and lead us in prayer together. Thank you.
Oh God, we are so grateful to have the blessing of having your word. It's your word that makes your ways known to us. It's your word that teaches us to trust in you, that you are just, that you are good, that you are merciful, that you're praiseworthy. God, we pray you would help us. Would you bless us, Lord? Show your mercy on us. Shine your face on us, Lord, that we might experience the joy of knowing you and walking in your ways. Lord, we pray you'd bless us even with the truths from this passage, that you would really plant them in our thoughts and our hearts, that we wouldn't walk out forgetting what we've heard, but we'd see in your word things that will help us, or to seek your blessings, to know your ways, to make you known. Lord, we ask you to help us. Help us, Lord, to see how desperately we need your blessing, and we need your favor, and we need to make you known to those around us. Oh God, we pray you'd help us. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, thanks for your attention to the Word of God today. I just want to remind you, kids, that you have paid attention early.